delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, Grant's at the back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
Welcome back to another episode of Sky Blue Stories. I'm Sean Maloney, and I'm here with Julian Barmbach, back with another dodgy knee, Jules.
Yes, I am. I'm back in pog form.
In pog form. Jonathan's not with us tonight. He's still back on Canadian time. But look, there's a lot to talk about after what's happened on the weekend. We've secured finals. We've secured a grand final over at CommBank with the girls. The men, or the young fellas, are in the NPL, have had a very unfortunate, disappointing loss in what was the first NPL derby between the Western Sydney Wanderers. So there's a lot to unpack over the course of this episode. So stay tuned for another week of Sky Blue Stories. And if you haven't guessed already, how poor my intro has been, because I've done no practice, no rehearsal, and nothing has gone into ChatGPT. So that's the kind of quality you're going to get tonight, everybody.
The computers have won.
But yeah, they've won, you know, it's bloody Skynet. Here we go. But look, Jules, let's, you know, welcome everyone for listening again. And look, I was just thinking to myself, I was like trying to count ahead and how many episodes we've got left. And in theory, not that many. You know,
we've got
next week, of course, leading into what will be, who knows who we're playing next week in terms of the men, that is. The women,
there's
hopefully,
still a few variables there.
Yeah,
quite a few variables.
The women hopefully will be, you know, salivating and waxing lyrical and celebrating a grand final win, something that's eluded the girls over the last few seasons. And then we'll do like a postseason wrap up. And I've got a couple ideas, and you know, we can do a grand final, you know, our report card grading, you know, A, B, C, D, E,
yes, even F. Yeah.
But I did like what, before we get into Around the Grounds, what Tarn, I don't know if you follow Tarn and amongst the Twitter people with Sydney FC.
Possibly, yeah.
I can't quite tell, Tarn, if you're a boy or a girl. I get feminine vibes, nothing personal, but please let me know what you identify as anyway. But I like what they have done. We'll get controversial now. I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole. But player of the season, flop of the season, most underrated and biggest problem. Likes of Tarn and, of course, our good mate Nick Rojas and the like have done their player of the season.
Oh, yeah, I saw Nick's. Yep.
And I'm just like, well, maybe a bit premature. Maybe wait till after next week, after the Jets game, the final games, if not after our final series, depending on how deep we go into it. But I'm already started to a bit of debate already with have it a guess, Jules. Who the debate between the player of the season is. It can only be two names.
Max Burgess.
Yeah.
And fucking hell. Seriously, that's how dire it is.
Oh, the other one's fairly obvious. Yes. He's
been,
I think he's third on the Alex Tobin scoreboard thing. Yeah. So a bit of debate going back and forth, and who would be
the top? There's only one, to be honest.
What player?
Max has been head and shoulders, to be fair.
Well, before we jump into maybe go off a bit half cocked, who's more valuable? And this is something I saw Slowey kind of posting about. Who's more valuable? Who's more necessary to us playing well and winning, I guess, ultimately getting 3 points or whatever, Max Burgess or Joe Lolly?
I think Max Burgess, because I think we still have he's the cog that connects all the parts. The amount of times, if he can get on the ball, we can dominate games, and actually dominate with chances, not dominate possession. Let me be very clear on that. I think not that Joe Lolly's effect when he's on form and we're utilizing him correctly is fantastic. Like, there's no doubting that, and he's a great player, and I can't wait, you know, to hopefully see him. He's got another year with us, right?
I don't think so. I'd ask Jonathan. What do you think? Oh, no, he's not here. All right. All right. Anyway, let's get to Around the Grounds.
Grounds. Grounds. Grounds. Grounds.
Come finals, and when this got posted earlier this week, we had, and of course, secured the berth from last night's, well, Monday night's game against Brisbane, which is a great turnout, 12,000 or so at Suncorp.
Yeah, the crowd looked fucking fantastic on that far side. Yeah.
Very impressed. Good on you, Brisbane. And anyone else of us, you know, that travelled up there, the Cove support and the like. Now that we know that we're definitely in finals, secured at least, I don't think we can drop to six, actually, depending on...
We can. It requires a six-goal swing for us to lose and Wellington to win. Yeah, so very unlikely.
Very unlikely. But, yeah, we can't jump any higher than what we are. I think we're pretty much locked on for fifth.
Yep.
No active support for finals.
Mm.
And you saw that Cove post?
I did.
Thoughts, feelings, impressions?
Look, I think they're completely valid and we're not privy to the conversations that they've had with the APL and the other active supporter groups I've had. You know, I think I saw some suggestion from around the Twitter sphere, or the soccer Twitter sphere, saying, oh, it's, you know, a bit of an empty gesture saying this for a final series you might not make. Well, fuckers, we did. So just chill out. That was going to be when the results started pouring in the last couple of weeks and things continued to fall in our favour, I think it was pretty likely we're going to make the finals. So whether we've had a good season or not, that's indifferent. It doesn't matter to this whole scenario. For me, if what they're saying is true, and the Cove, to be honest, the people in there are of good moral fibre, so I don't suggest that they would be talking out of school, I think they're completely within their rights to hold this strong protest. And I think it will send volumes, particularly if it's the first Sydney Derby semi. That's going to be a big egg on face moment for the APL.
Matt, that will have the biggest impact if it's a Derby semi-final. That will be a huge message sent. But I don't know if RBB have come to the party.
I don't think they are going to. I think I've seen a few things on Twitter to suggest, and I don't know if it's just people just saying, oh, we won't, and they not actually speak for the RBB, but I don't think they will. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, I think they're so hell-bent on winning this season and making something of it. Obviously, they haven't been on, what, six seasons now?
Yeah. So they've protested the final series for 6 years, so, you know. They've done the big advocacy over the years. So, you know, well done to you guys.
But, like, I'm all for it. A message needs to be sent to the APL. A message was sent weeks ago. So I'm really proud or appreciate that the Cove and other active supporter groups as well have gone, okay, we're not going to let the foot off the jungle. We're not going to let the foot off the pedal. We're not going to go away. I know there's been a fair bit of time between then and now. And we're going to keep pressing forward. So well done. Another little thing I want to talk about with our Around the Ground segment, with my Around the Ground segment. I don't know if you watched the Nat Tobin.
I haven't had a chance to yet, but it's on the radar. I really, really want to watch it. Yeah.
This might be a bit of a controversial opinion or something like that. Didn't rate it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I was left disappointed, not because of Nat, because I love Nat to bits, but it basically, what are they, about half an hour episodes, I think?
Yeah, roughly.
About that. And it was basically like 10, 12 minutes on Nat, and then like the other two-thirds of the episode was just what was our semi-final loss to Western United the other week. And I'm like...
Like a highlights package almost.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, so I saw our game from the point of view of the sideline. I found out that Ante Juric was sick and Tom Whiteside kind of took the pre-game stuff down in the sheds. I don't know, maybe, you know, Ante had some food poisoning, had some bad shrimp. Who knows, bad sushi. But I'm like, I wanted the whole episode purely just on Nat from start to finish. You know, I cliche stuff, but, you know, stuff about her, you know, where she grew up and, you know, maybe, you know, young little, you know,
photos of her. Like a full background story.
Yeah, yeah, just a bit more about her. I'm like, so they followed her around, cut down the package to about 10 minutes and then just had the cameras of the All Access, you know, keep up people just watching the game. And I'm like, yeah, I was left kind of a bit underwhelmed, not because of Nat, and I think she's fantastic. I love it a bits, but yeah, I just thought how they've presented it and then distributed via YouTube and the like was pretty underwhelming. But speaking of Nat, and this will be wonderful, been very nice timing, the grand final this weekend, this Sunday, will be her 100th appearance.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool way to bring up that milestone.
Grand final, 100th appearance, cap it off with a win.
Lift that trophy high.
That would be pretty damn special. All right. Now, a little bit of maybe thinking ahead to seasons. We had a little the Sydney FC Sunday story. This last Sunday gone past was about Wilco, our captain. I'm just weighing it up at the moment and deciding what I want to do. The club has been great in that regard in terms of just leaving the decision up to me, which is fantastic. You're a coach, Jules.
Yep.
Do you say, look, Wilco, it's time? Or if you're Wilco, because you spent a bit of time at centre-back on the weekend, didn't go to school, but...
No, look, I think there's certain players that are special, and it's not that you're treating them a different way shouldn't be seen as like a negative thing that you're treating people differently. People are different. People have had longevity at a club or have a certain, presence or something that transcends football. And I think that Wilco probably does that, to be honest. He's a leader. He's a mentor. So I think, I think the club's doing the right thing with this in terms of letting Wilco come to terms whether he wants to continue on or if he wants to hang up the boots. But no, I've got absolutely no issue with this. I think it's a good move from the club, to be fair.
Yeah, it's all nice and respectful and whatnot, but we're here to win trophies, Julian, and whatnot. And this season, first time I've ever noticed this, or that it's happened, is that I've noticed a drop-off in performance and ability. I have seen Wilco, he's been good since he came back, and certainly now that Rodwell's, getting through games, albeit finally at this time of the season. But regardless, that pairing has proved quite fruitful in the last kind of fortnight or so. But I think it might be time
I agree. I think.
You don't want to overstay your welcome. Like you push yourself
the
season and then you really drop off form. Maybe give a young a gird and the
like. I couldn't agree more in terms of I think that Wilco probably, the time is, in my opinion, probably now. It's a great way to bow out. He's still, like we said, he struggled at bits and pieces this season, but he's come good at the back end. If he did stay, I don't expect him to be a starting centre back. You know what I mean? Like, I think we need to bring in reinforcements. We don't know what's going to happen with Jack Rodwell as well. Like, as much as, he's hit form now, is he going to stay healthy? Is he going to honour the second year of his contract? So there's a lot of, we'll probably have a whole pod dedicated to ins and outs. So I don't want to go too deep, but a lot of moving parts.
Whether it's this is his last season or next, you have to keep him at the club. Coaching contract.
Without question. Yep.
In the women's academy, centre of excellence, things that eventually gets up and going. Could be, the NPL boys, the under-18s or something, whatever. He has to be there in some kind of capacity to look after the next generation and the next squad of men's, women's, youth players, boys or girls. So,
No, completely agree.
Another little bit of another little kind of a whisper, thanks to Twitter. Tommy Heward-Bell apparently going to Western United. Now that Jamie Young has moved on from Western. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter today or the last
time. I haven't seen that, so it's the first time I saw it when it was on the run sheet. But oh look, it makes sense. Can't say it doesn't make sense, to be fair.
He's a very good keeper and he's looking for an opportunity. It's a tough gig being a backup keeper, especially when keepers have a longevity, more longevity, you know, spend more time.
Yeah.
You know, look at Ben Foster there with Wrexham. What is Ben Foster, 50 odd something now?
Like? Yeah, he's like 44 or some shit. Yeah. It's crazy.
Mm. But I hope it's not true, but if it is, I get it. We get it.
Mm.
Pavlicic would then become number two in the men's squad.
Yes.
Pav is a brilliant, brilliant keeper.
And then and he's played a couple of first grade games as well. Well, you know, games in the first team.
And then we have young Gus Hufslund and Max Vartul. Is he a keeper as well? I could be wrong. But anyway, we've got a very good production line of goalkeepers coming through. So, yeah.
Mm.
I just don't nobody, you know, jump and go, oh, there's another youth player going. You know, kind of.
Yeah.
The Tilios and the Aiden Simmons and Talbots, et cetera. It's not quite the same if this transfer rumor ends up being true.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's an end for the around the grounds. So let's dive into last Saturday's. Saturday's, yes, last Saturday, 3 o'clock. Mammoth playoff for the grand final against not what I put on the run sheet in West United, but in terms of Melbourne victory. I just noticed that. Not that it matters now because Melbourne victory sucked shit. Look, they were 1-0 win, finally got over the line. Took forever and a day, not until what, the 88th, 89th minute? 89th minute. And there was literally only one team in the game. It was insane just how lopsided it was.
It was perseverance prevailed in the end, and I think that that victory set up to basically drag the game out as much as possible, suck the life out of the game, hopefully get it probably to extra time pens. Not similar to what they did against City. Yeah, exactly. But I think that that's their comfort zone, playing a little bit more within themselves. So, there was only one team interested in actually playing on the day, and that team ended up getting the spoils and into the grand final, which is just rewards. So, sixth grand final.
Sixth consecutive. I've heard that plenty of times in a row, and I actually have to jump onto such a reliable source in Wikipedia. And it has been six in a row. Maybe because of COVID, lockdown throws off you a little bit of a history and calendar of events and whatnot. But yeah, it's insane. But yes, six grand finals in a row. As Ante says, they're the best team that's ever existed in the women's A League or W League.
Well, absolutely. Without question, you can't debate that. I don't think anymore. The only thing that's going to completely shut up anybody is getting that win finally, final win. I think that shuts up everybody.
Unfortunately, that's just the case with Australian football that there are semi-finals and grand finals, and you're judged on how many grand final trophies you are. It's not right. Yep. It's not proper. It's not, Europeans and South Americans alike would be horrified that that's the case. It's not first class. But you have to win a grand final. The more grand finals you win, the more trophies you have from grand finals, you'll be held in higher esteem. It's just how it is. It's not perfect, but it just is. And you're right, Jules. Just going back to what you said before, I think they were just playing for pens and hoping with the likes of Casey Dumont, who's a very good keeper.
Yeah.
It pains me to say that she would kind of they would be equalized come pens. Mm. There's a bit of a lottery, and she's a very good goalkeeper. Which is quite ironic because it was her spilling of the ball when Sarah put it in, and discredit Nat had a little bit of a role to play because gosh, she was pushing up really high, insanely high.
Yeah,
we could afford to, and needed it, and when Sarah just put the ball into the mixer, she was up in around the 6 yard box. And I think that obscured Casey DeMont's view and strikers like the Matty Haleys in the world. And like you briefly played there on the weekend, as you were telling me before, just need to be there, thereabouts to knock it away. It wasn't a pretty goal, but who gives a shit? And
be there at the right moment. Exactly. That's it.
But look, Ante must have been listening to me and yourself last week when I said, respectfully, don't start Indiana. Start Maddie up front at 9 and start Rachel at 10. So he listened to me. He took our advice and did the right thing. And then Indiana came on later in the game. I thought, oh, no, maybe, you know, start to, like, maybe play Shea. But, look, we needed a goal, and Indiana's more of an attacking midfielder than Shea is. So, and she was really solid when she came on. But I want to do a massive shout-out to, well, Macca, but, you know, McKenzie just does McKenzie things. But I thought Charlotte was absolutely outstanding. Her ability to either, you know, time it perfectly to intercept a ball or to shut down the player and close the space to then, you know, that striker, that forward, then has their back to goal. I thought she was, you would not have known that she's come back from a fractured face and been out for a month to the previous week. So, and I thought Kirstie was fantastic as well.
Yeah, she was. Oh, look, I think the whole team, they just looked like they were never going to. There was going to be no other result apart from them getting through to the grand final. That's the feeling that you know I got anyway. So, yeah, it's an incredible achievement. But just go that one better now, girls, and everybody. As much as there was obviously some controversy with the, you know, where the A-League women's game is being played. The fact is that with this one, at the very least, it would have made diddly squat difference. We won the Premier's Plate. We would have hosted the grand final. So get down there, support the girls. Let's get them through. Let's get this trophy into the cabinet.
All right. Well, speaking of finals and all that, we're going to find ourselves in a final in a Saturday week's time, in about a fortnight's time, Jules. But jeez, thanks to...
pinching myself.
I know. Oh, we kind of expected it to happen, didn't it? Like, we all started...
Yeah, but if you asked me 10 weeks ago, I probably would have said, no fucking way.
Now, we pulled up our socks a bit in the last month or so, and it also has helped that the calibre of teams below us, the Perths, the Brisbanes, Newcastle, Western United, MacArthur. I did see Jonathan had been online the other day that he said MacArthur would be, you know, certainties for the trophy this season.
Yeah.
So
they're stone muddlers, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah. So, like, they've just died in the arse. But look, I sat back and watched the game last night. A very tidy, very nice 2-0 win. One of our, I know, obviously, because we won, but one of our best games of the season, don't you think?
I think it was just a really thorough, professional performance, which is what you need at this time of year. Don't need anything that's over the top. Just get through, get the 3 points. Don't look like you're going to concede, even in moments where we did. I think Redmayne had a great game. That double save he pulled off that's been doing the rounds on the socials is unbelievable. So, I think it was a great performance, to be honest.
Yeah. And look, we're building some form going into finals. I know the last week, this week, and then next week's game, they're all against teams that are below us, but
yeah,
it would have been nice to maybe play a team above us and get a win. But look, we had a draw against Adelaide about a fortnight ago now. So, you know, we can only play with who's in front of us. And that was Brisbane last night, Monday night, and we did a decent job. So, look, we'll focus on two goals because they were very, very tidy, neat goals. Very first one, though, was Max's goal in the 34th. No, sorry. Yeah, it was Max's goal in the 34th. Nice little bit of combination play between him and Lolly. Lolly just says,
yes,
the box, just, you know, yeah, play to me. And a simple yet effective little 1-2. And it also highlights just how terrible at defending Brisbane are like, dude, you track your honour. Whoever it was.
Defending 101.
I know. And then just shot the ball through the bloke's legs and past the keeper. It was a nice finish. And Max is in very good form at the moment, scoring some goals on the back of his goal for Slovakia. Did limp off or did head off, changed by Sega. So maybe a bit more precautionary, perhaps.
You hope so. I think, I hope it is. Look, if anything, I'd probably be more inclined, when we get into our preview, we'll go through the lineup, but just as a little throw-off comment, maybe it's a good idea just to play, if he does have a niggle, just play Sega, just start him. Get Sega some minutes before the semis, get him confident, give Mac some rest leading into the first semi, which will be, it's going to be a physical semi no matter who we play out of the three teams that are possible, so.
And then the Alfie goal. So it is nice that in the last fortnight or so, all of our forwards are getting on the score sheet. We are knocking in some goals. Clean sheet too, by the way, of course, for Monday night game. And a nice goal from Alfie. I was impressed. When the ball got played across to him by Joe, and I kind of square ball towards Alfie, there were more than enough Brisbane shirts there.
Oh, yeah.
Like three or four Brisbane shirts. I'm like, somebody, hello. Close him down. Not that Melbourne, but
not that you want that.
But he actually, quite generated a fair bit of power from what was basically like a standing start.
It was vintage Alfie. Those nice little runs in between the defenders, and almost seems like it's easy, but they're always such a hard. They're like incredibly hard finish to do. So, I've been really impressed with Alfie since he started to, get over that injury trouble that he had and play himself into a bit of form again. He started to look like his old self. He looks like, even on the pitch, he's enjoying himself more. I don't know if that's just me, but
But look, probably what came out of last night more so, other than securing a finals berth, other than, Mac getting a goal, Alfie getting a goal, Redder's double save was, a fair few nods had actually went in the way of Jack, of Rodwell, and how well he played, and just how classy he was at centre back, and how that partnership that we would have loved to have seen at the start of the season with Wilco and Rodwell is now finally in effect and building quite a nice bit of chemistry and cohesion between the two. So. That's a very positive thing because defense has been our Achilles heel, also our defense this season. So to see these two working well together, Joel King, another good start from him, and Ryan out on the right as well. So look, very good, very positive signs going forward. That we can make a fist of it next week against Jets and the week after against. More than likely Mariners or Wanderers.
It's good. We've sort of hit form at the right end of the season. I've had a few people say, oh, you guys always just seem to hit form at the right end. I was like, yeah, well, where was it last year? we didn't hit it at
easier said than done.
It is easier said than done, but it's, if we get a win against Newcastle, which in the game we'll preview soon, but if we do that, I think we're undefeated in five. We've won three out of those five and three consecutive wins. It's great form to be taking into the semis. And yes, we've played teams below us, but like you said, sure, we've got to play what's in front of us. So it's actually been nice the way the draw's sort of fallen this year for us at the back end. Obviously, nobody knows where anybody's going to be and how their form's going to be, but just worked out really nicely for us, obviously. And leading into an enormous game, elimination semi against either of those opponents, which are two big rivals for us. So, yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So let's get to some SFC votes. I'm going to go two for Alfie, two for Mac, and then one for Redders and one for Jack.
Nice. Yeah, that works out. Yeah.
Just double check.
carry the Y. No, I am just going 3-2-1 format as per usual. 3 for Jack. I thought he was exceptional on the night. 2 for Redmayne and 1 for Alfie.
Lovely, lovely. Speaking of our bitter rivals down the other end of the M5, our young fellas on Friday night, a little while ago now, play the Wanderers. A 1-0 loss. Disappointing. I watched the game, chilling out on Friday night. 2 losses in a row now, which is a bit disconcerting considering our form prior to last fortnight's worth of games. And then we've got Apia, which we'll dissect a bit for this weekend's games coming. Without sounding cocky or arrogant or anything like that, I really thought the guys would get up and have a, what we were saying last week, I think we said like it'd be like a 6-4, 5-3, absolutely.
Yeah, very, very high scoring. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it didn't seem to be the, I confess, I haven't been able to watch the game or the, I've seen the highlights, but I haven't watched the full game back or anything like that. But from what I could discern from the highlights, it just was, yeah, it was a weird game. Not very, not at all what we expected the game or the flow of the game to be like.
And funnily enough, the goal scorer was an old Sydney FC player.
Yeah.
In Zachary Sapsford.
Old Sappy.
Yeah. Old Sapsford, yeah. So coming back to haunt his old club. But look, there was plenty of our familiar names there with Gerd and Seger and the like there and JK and the like. But I don't know, just... Maybe, you know, there might be a good lesson to them. They'll take their medicine. But look, the best opportunity fell to a tall timber. Nathan Paul had the best opportunity in the 52nd minute. As the defender connected with his head off a follow, very nice, neat free kick, but failed to put enough power on it to trouble the scoreline. But look, disappointing. It was a very nice crowd up there at Valentine on the telly. But again, Nathan probably almost could have stolen the show with a huge long range effort in about the 80th minute, but not to be.
No,
we just got to play until next week, which is going to be an absolutely bloody tough game. I kind of thought that, you know, we would have beaten St. George the week before and then Wanderers this past weekend, and and now we've got to play Apia. I guess we may as well preview now, Jules.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got, as you said, Sean, we've got Apia next up for the lads, which is going to be, like you said, an absolute stern test. Friday, 28th of April at Valentine Park, 7:30. So our home game at our youth home of Valentine Park.
A fair bit up there.
We do, yeah. It's not a bad pitch, to be fair. So it's got a good amenities, but it's going to be a very, very stern test against a side that just seems to be going strength to strength and more than a couple of goal scorers getting on the score sheet at the moment, Sean.
Well, they had a 3-0 win over Olympic on Sunday.
No slouches either.
Part of the Festival of Football in its third year, the Festival of Football. So I'm not overly confident, and no disrespect to the boys. You know, the form in the last fortnight hasn't been great. Up against Apia, which is one of the form teams at the comp, along with the likes of Marconi as well.
Mm.
So I'm not overly confident with how this game's going to go. I'm just going to double-check the ladder. Come on, NBN. Yeah, Apia and Marconi, they're on top, scoring plenty, conceding only 11, two best defences in the comp. And now we've fallen down just a little bit to sixth. What are we? 1 point ahead, 2 points ahead of Blacktown, 1 point behind St. George. And that four, I doubt we'll see much change with Sydney United, Rockdale, Marconi, and Apia at the top. So it's going to be a very, very tough assignment for the boys on the weekend. Those that might be able to snatch a win or even snatching a draw would be huge up against the might of Apia. So I'm going to go, I hate to say this, Julian, but I'm going to say it's going to be a 3-0 loss. Prove me wrong, boys. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, I don't see us getting past this. No disrespect to what we're doing, obviously. We're punching well above our weight, but this, I think, is just a step too far in terms of their form. Their goal scorers, I think they've got the top goal scorer in the league at the moment. I don't see us getting through and getting a result here. I've got us losing 2-0.
Okay. All right, more football. Do you want to go? We'll leave the women till last, as it is, in all due respect to the fellas, a more important game. But, yeah, we've got the Jets this coming weekend.
We do. Last home game of the season, last game of the season, full stop. Saturday, 29th of April at Allianz Stadium, 5 p.m. kickoff. Be a nice way to finish off the year, hopefully, with 3 points and securing fifth, although, like we previewed before, very unlikely that we'll fall below fifth, but carrying the form into the semis, it would be obviously the most ideal thing.
Well, momentum is so important. I know that the game in the context of the season now that we've skewed finals doesn't mean anything, but we have to go 3 wins in a row. That's just
great.
And what do you think we should do? Would you go, okay, we've guaranteed fifth. Let's say, you know, for argument's sake, we've guaranteed fifth. Should we play our best 11 available? Or you go, let's save some legs. Let's save, you know, not risk any injury and whatnot. Play other players. Jump on Alex Parsons, go JK, go Woody, go Sega, etc. And, you know, give the lollies and the Alfies and the Brats a break. What would you do, Jules?
No, I'd go best 11 possible. Don't change too much going into a semi-final because it's not like you have a week off as well in terms of you can't get that chemistry back, I don't think. I think go best 11, but with a precursor to that, make sure that you're making substitutions nice and early. I'm talking like halftime, 60-minute mark, depending on obviously the situation of the game, possibly even regardless. So, I just manage the game really well from the substitutions perspective. I'd use them frequently and as often as possible.
Totes agree, Jules. But we're likely to see somebody you alluded to earlier. No, you didn't allude, you just said it. You reckon we'll see Seca starting?
I don't know if we will. I would just really like it to happen for a couple of reasons. One, give Mac a rest if he has pulled up a bit lame and it wasn't just like a time wasting thing or a, you know, I'm not too sure, or he felt a little niggle, but he seems to be fine. I think just give him the week. He can be still on the bench if you want to give him some minutes under his belt, but start Sega, give him some minutes, give him some form, and then he's going to be more of an asset coming off the bench in a semi-final if he needs to.
Yeah, I like that idea. If Mac is fine, still start Sega, playing for, you know, 2/3 of the match, 3/4 or something, and then go, all right, Mac, you know, jump on, play the last 10, 15 or so minutes, get a little bit of minutes in the leg ahead the following week's game against whoever it is going to be. So, yeah, I like that idea. Alfie and Lolly, Max, of course, in the middle with Bratz and AC. I'd like to – be interesting if Caballo is fine for this coming game. I'd still let's say he's fine, he's healthy, he's gotten over his injury, his niggle. I'd be interested to see what Corica does. Do you start Joel, who's done a very good job the last two games? He's been very solid. Or do you put Diogo back in? I'm tempted
to keep it as is. I think keep it as is. Unfortunately, that's the way football rolls. If you get an injury or suspended or something happens and then the guy that comes in to replace you does a great job and you're winning games, don't change your winning formula. It's just unfortunate. Just part of football. But I agree. I think Joel's been not too bad. So keep him in there.
Now, up against the Jets, are they? How much are they in with a shout to make finals?
They can. They can definitely make it. The biggest hurdle for them, I think, is goal difference. So they would need Wellington to lose against MacArthur, which is asking a lot. But realistically, it's 5-goal difference. They really do need a 5-goal swing. So they need to smack us, probably 3, and they need to hope that MacArthur pull off a miracle. So
Who's Perth playing though? Just trying to bring it up.
Perth are playing not Adelaide, that was last night. Perth are playing Western United. So interesting one there. Both teams well within a shot. Can end up on both of them.
Wellington's gone. Who did you say?
MacArthur.
Okay.
MacArthur, yeah. So look, I think it's a non-event. I think Wellington are going to be way too strong for MacArthur, despite form. So they'll probably get a win, or if they get a draw, then it's done. As long as they get a draw, Wellington are in the six.
Perth have got Western.
So
okay. Yeah, you like that -9, -7 goal
difference. The real interesting thing for us, I don't think, is below us. It's more in front of us. Who are we going to play in our semi-final? Because, like you said, I don't think we'll give up fifth. I actually think, you know, not going into a preview, but I do think we'll pick up 3 points. So it'll be a case of we've got Melbourne City versus Wanderers at Melbourne City on Friday night, and you've got Central Coast playing Adelaide.
Okay.
Which is huge. So, that second, third, fourth could change so much. Central Coast are only ahead. Are only ahead of Wanderers on goals scored. Same goal difference. Only ahead on goals scored.
I don't know who. Any Wanderers people who listen to this might like me saying this, but I think I'd rather have Central Coast in the first week. In that first finals game,
I'd rather anyone but Wanderers. I'll be honest, the way they are at the moment.
Yeah,
I don't fancy it. I know it's a derby and everything like that, so it's sort of form book gets thrown out. But the way they're playing at the moment, I think they're a big threat.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, how do you reckon we'll go with the Jets game? What's your score prediction?
I think we'll win comfortably. I think we'll put on a bit of a show. Comfortable 3-0 win. All business. Get on with it. Get into the finals.
Now I'm going to say 3-1. We'll go 3-0 and then they'll get a little consolation goal for the fans. And then we'll sign off the season. So 3-1 and onwards and upwards. All right. Last,
but the main event.
Certainly not least, Jules, the main event.
The main event, Sunday, 30th of April,
yep.
CommBank Stadium, 4 p.m., Sydney FC versus West United in a little game known as the Liberty A-League Grand Final.
Yes.
It's going to be an absolute cracker of a game. Sean, I can't wait for it, to be honest. Yep. I've got my tickets. I'm ready to go. Got wheelchair access, so I'm going to be okay.
I was going to say, have you checked out the disability ramps and what access there is for you?
Well, I'm just going to, we're going to get an adjoining thing to the pram with Evie. So Joe's just going to wheel us both in.
Evie's going to have a little sidecar, and there's you with a scarf around you, just flailing in the wind behind you. Very, very cute. Basically, two invalids. Next to each other.
Evie's
got an excuse.
That's what it's been like for Jones.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm just a fucking idiot.
Yes. Hopefully she's got Jodie's jeans.
Yeah.
So look, the two best teams this season, first and second, best attacking, best defensive, a lot of goals scored and conceded over these two teams. You know, there's a lot of what do you call them, like storylines for this, you know. It's the girls taking the double this season. The girls, you know, aren't they finally grabbing that trophy after it's eluded us in past recent seasons? For Western United, it's, you know, their first season, and then now their first appearance in a grand final, which then could also be, God forbid, a win for them, and winning the thing in their first season. So there's you know, Melbourne versus Sydney, Victoria versus New South, yada, yada, yada.
The APL versus the people.
Yes, that's it. I'm glad there's still going to be active support there for the game and all that. I think that's important to support the women's game, and because that's just been unfortunate kind of collateral damage and all the shit that Danny and the APL have caused. Look, without trying to put all our eggs in the one basket and focus on one person, but you just got to shut down Hannah Keane.
Yep, agree. I think, yeah, if we shut her down, or we're just a little bit tighter to her, especially for crosses in the box, I think we're going to be okay. We'll eliminate the one threat that they do have. Well, shouldn't say one threat. They've got multiple threats, but their main threat at least.
Yeah, yeah. She's a top goal scorer of the season, the Golden Boot. She was the reason why, we have more or less, except for Carly Johnson crossing in that ball, but being the scorer against us, you know, in the previous week's game. So shut down her. And also, speaking of, but in terms of our squad and our team, I hope Mac is fine. She had a bit of a stumble with Casey Dumont late in the game when she steamed onto a nice through ball. A bit of studs in the, just unfortunate. I don't think anything malicious. But I think Ante, like you said, Jules, you don't mess with a winning formula. We'll see Maddie start, Courtney Princess, Sarah, Macca, Rachel. I thought Rachel was fantastic playing in that. I think playing 10 is her spot, it's her position. And then that back four of Kirsty, Charlie, who else is there? Sorry, Nat and Charlotte and Kirsty. Interesting how Ante uses the subs. I guess it all depends on how the game goes. You know, maybe if we, a couple of goals are good, maybe Shea comes on because she's more defensive minded, and or if we're chasing a goal or looking for something or trying to get further ahead or something, Indiana comes on. Maybe you push Nat into the midfield, and then you could bring like a Deborah Ann to partner Charlotte in the middle. We're a little
The versatility of the squad is good. It's for that reason. Like it's so strong in terms of multiple players can play multiple positions. It's so good.
I'd just be interested to see if we're really looking to chase the game and chase a goal. Hopefully this is not the case. I don't know if Roller is necessarily the answer to come off the bench. I think it might be a matter of trying to push Nat into the midfield, maybe still playing as centre back, but push her into the midfield. And that means the likes of Sarah and particularly Macca then can play higher because they're
possibly goals between.
I think that would be the more likely move from Ante. But look, just get yourselves down to over to Combank Stadium. Support the girls. Massive game for them. You know, hopefully the high of seeing the men win the final game of the season and head off into the finals on Saturday night. Don't go home. Just stay out at an all-night bender and then make your way over to Combank at 4 o'clock that afternoon on Sunday, and then you can, you know, have Monday off on me. I'll call in a bomb threat or something. And I reckon, yeah, a bit of redemption, a bit of revenge, a lot to play for. I think the girls...
Revenge.
I think the girls will win 3-1. I think we'll be 2-1. I think we'll score first, and then they'll score, then we'll go up 2-1, and I think we'll get a late-ish goal, just to put it beyond doubt, and I think we'll get up 3-1.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 2-1 win in extra time.
Ooh. Saucy.
Yes. Lots of drama. Courtney Vine with the winner. And I'm going to pass Evie to her for a goal celebration.
To round out the pod tonight, everyone's debatable, but you know, favorite segment of the pod, we've got hero and villain. Let's kick off with villain though, Jules. And if I could jump in first, if I can kind of piggyback on what I said last week, that my choice of last week was the chap who cheated in the A-League and whatnot. And it wasn't particularly citizen related. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to be consistent, as I know it probably should be in the realm of Sydney FC, in the realm of something sky blue. But something popped up on, you know, because I follow Keep Up on the Instas and all that social media that the kids do these days. And it reminded me of when I was playing. But I'll read it out. So my villain is the referee from the Victory game. When the most extraordinary red card in the history of the A-League, this little caption reads, Fernando Romero just took himself down the tunnel without permission for a toilet break. Upon returning, he asked if he could come back on the field. He received a yellow card for leaving the field of play without asking, which is by the letter of the law, and then could have received a second yellow if he had run on back without position. So would have been. So he got a yellow for not buggering off to go
take not it. Saying that he was gonna
and then maybe could have received a yellow if he just trotted himself back on without, you know, letting the referee know that, you know, hey mate, I've just been down the tunnel taking a piss. Wow, because that reminded me, it was a few years after, and I was playing with Jono a few years after playing for Strathfield and All Age, and we're playing in a team of these guys that we knew from Homebush Boys, they're really nice guys, loved a drink and then some. Like, they would be at the Wentworth Hotel, if anyone knows that, on Parramatta Road at Homebush Way, getting drunk and kicked out and tossed out and into fights and whatnot. And plenty of the boys would come to games on Saturday mornings with hungover, black eyes, you know, butterfly band-aids on their face, you know, those butterfly band-aid thingies, what are they called?
I know the ones you're talking about, the ones that you get when you have stitches and that,
or they'd be, you know, be 5 minutes to 3 o'clock before kickoff and they're running across the field with their jeans down to their ankles because they're trying to get dressed. They've just woken up 10 minutes ago. But one bloke in the team, Phil Brown, who was I'd describe him as festively plump. He was playing centre back that day, and Phil disappeared. And then, you know, minutes later, I see him trot on, and I'm like, "Oh, did you sub off and sub yourself back on, Phil?" And he's like, "No. I didn't sub myself on." I said, "But I just saw you walk back on the field." He's like, "Yeah, I've been playing centre back." I'm like, "Yeah, well, what happened?" He goes, "Oh, I just went and took a shit. Just took a dump."
Didn't bother subbing himself off.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I understand when nature calls, but just like, this is all ages, unlimited subs. Just say, sub, you know,
take me off. Yeah,
take me off. I'll go take a dump, wash my hands preferably, and then come back on. So that just reminded me. And it was a very ordinary season that year. That was not one of my memorable seasons. But Jules, what about your villain of the week?
My villain of the week this week is the RBB. So I was watching the Western Sydney Wanderers and the Wellington Phoenix game the other night. And yeah, absolute dominant performance by the Wanderers. And then around probably the 85th, 86th minute mark, I started hearing this chant. I was like, that sounds familiar. And I was like, I realised it dawned on me probably about 10 or 15 seconds in. I was like, you got to be absolutely shitting me. The fuck off Sydney FC chant started raining out throughout the ground during the game. Now, people have said that it's because the capo said, oh, we just won the NPL derby. And so we're going to start chanting this. But regardless, you guys are up 4-0 at a game you're attending for the men, right? And you're that obsessed with us that you have to start chanting that. We like completely define their existence. I'm sorry, like that's so fucking cringe. You're such a fucking small club. Like, yeah. if not even the club, shouldn't even criticize the club. To be fair, it's not the club. It's the supporters. What do the kids
say? Well, that we live rent free.
Rent free, bro. Yeah. Rent free. I do want to clarify that it's not the club. It's literally a pocket of supporters in that RBB group because they're the villain of the week, not the Wanderers. The RBB that just are just idiots. Like, there's no other way to describe them.
That's really sad. I don't want to downplay the old game and that competition, but
no, that's yeah.
It's like, hello, you're at an A League top tier men's game. And you're worried about
it. But that's unfortunately, Sean, I think that's some of their, like, they've got an inferiority complex. Like, when it comes to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really strange. And it's the main people in the RBB or like the, you know, the capo and probably the main, you know, the cohorts that are always there, right? But geez, man, like, just take a chill pill.
Yeah, little man syndrome. Little man syndrome. And I can guarantee you that if the tables were turned and our Imperial boys had beating them and we happened just to be playing Brisbane at the same time and the games were at the same, I guarantee you, like, there might be some talk amongst the Cove, like, oh, hey, we just beat Wanderers in the NPL game, something to that effect. I guarantee you no chance would be going out. We just sole focus of focusing on the game. That's like literally meters in front of us, a stone's throw away. So,
yeah, 100%. Interesting one.
All right, let's jump to our heroes. You go first with your hero, Jules.
Okay, so my heroes, I should say, of the week is the women's team for making a sixth consecutive grand final. I think it's obviously unprecedented in W League or A League women's football or probably domestic women's football. But I would dare say it would be very close, if not the record for most consecutive grand finals in any domestic football competition that we've had. Be very, very, very close. I don't know if Rowdy's got the stats on that. That would be an interesting read, how many consecutive grand finals has a men's or women's side made. But kudos to the girls, kudos to Ante and the team. Absolutely fantastic legends, and go and get your just rewards for an absolutely brilliant season. Three plates in a row. Let's get our hands on that trophy, champions trophy.
Riding them home on Sunday, figuratively. I got to be careful there, Jules. Anyway, look, my hero of the week. Look, I was, you know, I could easily say the women's team and jump on your bandwagon too, but I was going to say Maddie because obviously she scored the winning goal. Terrific. I thought Nat was brilliant in defence. But I'm going to highlight someone we spoke to just a few weeks back. I just thought McKenzie's performance again, and maybe because she just does it week in, week out, and there's like little to no difference
between
best and worst game, but she's everywhere. She's literally everywhere. But she's never out of position. Like, she'll be pushing up amongst Courtney and Princess and, you know, playing very high, and you think, oh, you know, but boom, she's tracking back. You'll find her scrambling back.
Her work ethic is ridiculous.
I'd almost have to be putting in, like, you know, maybe there's two or three of her out there, but you know, even, you know, there was that when she got the knock and she went down, and I thought, oh, she's hobbling off. Oh fuck, you know. But no, she played on.
Yeah.
And wanted to see out the game and continue fighting. So I just thought McKenzie was absolutely brilliant. She really wears her heart on the sleeve, and such an important player to the girls, as all of them are, but she's just another level. And if she doesn't get a nod for the Matildas, maybe not necessarily for this World Cup, but for the next, you know, qualifying campaign or next kind of tournament, I will be really, she should be 100%. Or if there's not like a French club or an English club, etc., Nordic, you know, like where Ali's gone and the like, not, you know, watching her closely and going, okay, once this season's over, if it hasn't happened already, offer her an opportunity to head overseas and play somewhere in Europe. Clubs would have to have rocks in their head if they're not thinking about bringing her across. So Mackenzie Hawksby.
Yeah, agree.
Great shout. So, look, a lot to look forward to. The boys have got a tough assignment. The young fellas up against the Italian giants, that is Apia Leichhardt. Our men have a really important game. Yes, we've secured finals, Jules, but it's a big game in the context of the season, wanting to continue our form and momentum into finals. And it could really, our result, as well as the rest of the competition's results, will really decide. Are we heading down the FI? Are we heading up the Central Coast? Are we, you know, could be against Adelaide as well, potentially.
Could be.
Yeah, so watch this space. Get over to the men's game, our last, home season, regular season game at Allianz on Saturday afternoon. Really nice time at 5 o'clock, nice mild conditions, but put it in your diary if you haven't already. Get down to Combank to watch our girls take on Western United and get a bit of revenge, a bit of redemption for a grand final win. And so they can be properly held up in the highest esteem of the best club or best group of girls or best group of women that have ever played in the A-League, Women's, W-League, etc. So please give them your support and get down there and cheer the girls on. I certainly will be there as well, along with Jules and his little sidecar next to his daughter. So look, you know, maybe like a little toot, ring the bell, just like be the parting of the red through Jules. I can just imagine myself there being in the forecourt there at the foot of Combank, and there's that little golf buggy driving along with Jules.
Yeah,
the Queen Wave.
I'm legit bunging it on. I am going to try and get a wheelchair out of this 100%.
Yes.
It's going to be great. I cannot wait. Disabilities. It's going to, especially with the pram next to me as well. It'll be a great little photo opportunity for me in a wheelchair and the little one in the pram.
I feel memories, so. Mate. Love it. She's got a lot. They just retired.
She does.
But look, I've been Sean. He's been Jules. Thank you so much for listening. We'll chat to you again next week.